I'm glad you're here. Mark chapter 15. As we look tonight in Mark chapter 15, the theme of this chapter as we get into it is the servant's crucifixion. We've come to the part where they're going to put him on the cross. You have the key verse being verse 3, which we'll read shortly. 47 verses, 913 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This particular chapter at a 3.6 grade level. You notice when dealing with the cross that the thing dips, right? That's so everybody can get in. God wants everybody to understand that. If you understand anything from the Scriptures after you get saved, the Holy Spirit I know has to show it to you. But prior to that, God's got to reveal that to lost people and open their eyes to the Scripture. And what a better way to do that with a third grade read material. As we start in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, "And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye do that I shall do unto him, whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceeding, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. As we look in the Scriptures tonight at this chapter, I want to preach to you on some observations on the way to the cross as we start approaching the cross here in Mark chapter 15. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this chapter. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive tonight. We pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, that you'd open our eyes to the truths presented right from the Bible tonight and help us, Lord. We pray tonight, God, you'd help me to preach this thing according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look at this thing tonight and the observations on the way to the cross, I must say, as we look at this, we see in verse number 1, we see the conspiracy. Now, the conspiracy is not that green men landed on this planet and you don't know about it. Let me make this perfectly clear. A conspiracy has conspirators. That means there's something that did indeed happen. And this is not a conspiracy theory where we think it happened, but we have no proof. There is proof right here in the Scriptures. And as we see the conspiracy, it says the chief priest had a consultation, it says, with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. The conspiracy was, we got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of him. We can't kill him, so we've got to figure out a way to get Pilate to do it. And listen, this conspiracy means they was conspirators and they had a plan. What's the plan? Get rid of Jesus. You know they've been working on that plan for over 2,000 years now. They're still trying to get rid of him. Maybe if we can't get rid of him, we'll duplicate him and make a bunch of false Jesuses. That's one thing that the devil does, and that didn't catch the Lord off guard, because in his word he said there'll be many false Christs. Yep. Or maybe we'll make him where he's a flip-flop Jesus wearing a dress and 160 pounds, and he just goes everywhere telling everybody, I love you. Maybe we'll say that's Jesus. It worked for some. Maybe we'll just say he's Jesus that don't read the Bible and don't go by the Bible. Wrong Jesus, that's the Antichrist. That's not the Christ, that's the Antichrist. Because when he comes along, they're going to ask him which version he likes. He's going to say none of them. Saved people won't be here to hear him give the answer, though, thank God.
That's right.
But as I look at that verse, we see the conspiracy. It says they delivered him to Pilate. Now we get to see something else in this chapter about an observation we make. We observe now the confusion. We have in this country, based off what everything I've been reading, we have sexual confusion, we have gender confusion, we have moral confusion, and no wonder, for Satan himself is the author of confusion.
Right.
And where does he do most of his authoring at? Right inside the church. Look at this confusion right here, though, in verse 2. And Pilate asked him, now I want you to keep in mind, Pilate's a politician. And I can't seem to get around this truth, but everybody goes into politics gets ruined by politics, either by the first election or the re-election.
Yeah.
And it says here, Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, thou sayest. Now, Pilate was very confused by that because he thought this whole time that Herod was the king of the Jews. After all, that's who the Romans set up to be the king. Herod was not a Jew, but he was the king of the Jews. Therefore, the Jews despised him. He was an Edomian. He was an Edomite. They didn't like him. They didn't want him as their king because he wasn't of Jewish descent. How far away must a nation be that God lets another country bring their person in to be their king? You know how they feel. How far did we get away from God before we let somebody who wasn't born on this country be the president of the United States? Oh, you think I'm talking about Obama? I'm talking about the alien we got in office right now because he's not from this planet. There's your little green man theory right there. Just saying. They must have dug him out of the pyramids, pumped some insulin and some vitamin C in him and rushed him right in there.
Yep.
You've heard that stuff all your life about that little, that's crazy stuff. And now that there's the internet, we got more crazies than we ever have believing that stuff. I'm partial to the flat earthers, though. I'd rather argue with them. At least they make some kind of sense for a little bit till you really listen to what they're saying. And for all you flat earthers out there, do not email me. I don't care.
Amen.
You will never, ever convince me of that stuff. Say, why? I have a Bible. I believe the Bible.
Yep.
Not just any Bible. I got this Bible. I got a perfect Bible. I ain't got to chase down 10 translations in 3 foreign languages. I got this one right here in my own language. Perfect as penned. Now notice this. You see another thing on the way to this thing, and that's the charges. Another observation we see, we observe their charges. It says, and the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Now here's the thing for you. The slander against Jesus shows up in verse 3. They charged him many things. And he answered nothing. When you are right, you don't have to answer false charges. You don't have to defend yourself when you're right. It's kind of like when people say to me about the Bible, I say, well, how do you know the Bible's true? Come hear me preach and you'll find out. I don't debate these stupid people. I ain't going to. Well, if he's a God, why don't blah, 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 blah? Okay, let me point something out to you. This is the truth. We don't test it by lies. It tests the lies. It's kind of like that argument that guy told me in Bible college years ago when I asked him this very question. You've heard me say it 100 times, maybe, yay, even 1,000. Well, what am I going to do with that little boy in Mexico that can't speak English, that don't know English? Am I going to get him a King James Bible? He lives in an alleyway down in Mexico and he's homeless and he lives in a cardboard box. Show me which alley he's in, I'll go get him. Oh, well, there's not a little boy. There's not? Then why were we worried about it then? If there's not a little boy, then you don't know what language he spoke anyway. And you don't test truth with what if. I'll give you one you'll never answer. Ready for it? God created the entire thing, right? They'll say, well, can God create a rock big enough? That's not scriptural. But you tell me this. If by everything Christ, he makes everything consist and stay together, right? Is that true? That's what the Bible says, Colossians chapter 1. By him all things consist. Isn't he a greater God that he lets his enemies live and gives them opportunity to be saved than the crowd that tries to throw him out as a fairy tale? Yep. They can't answer that. Because that's testing truth with truth. Yep. Here's a thing to consider. When they slandered him, he said nothing.
Right.
If they would have slandered us, we'd have said, now wait a minute, let me tell you something, buddy. We'd have pushed back from our desk, jumped up, and began to holler back. He said nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And it says in verse 4, Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold now how many things they witness against thee. And then in verse 5, but Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Here's a man who's used to talking all the time, can't believe the guy didn't say a word. Here's a guy who's used to speaking that sees him be silent when they accuse him of something, and it got Pilate. He didn't know what to think about that. He'd never dealt with somebody like him, because after all, everybody he'd ever dealt with of this religion, right? And look down at verse number 6. We see something else show up here, and that's their custom. It's an observation we make about their custom. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Since that word come up, we have heard that since January of 2020 about the insurrection that was made at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Might I remind you that that wasn't an insurrection? It's hard to be an insurrection when the police let you in the front door.
Yeah.
And the state police, or the Capitol Police up there, let those people in. There's way too many videos come out on it that they had to let a lot of them people they have kept in prison for no charges and no bail, unlawfully detained.
Yeah.
Now they're having to let them go and say, we're sorry. I hope they sue them, and I hope they get every dime they got.
Yeah.
That was wrong. But during that insurrection, there was indeed a murder that day. When an armed off-duty policeman guarding Nancy Pelosi fired on an unarmed U.S. citizen, I say we should have had the Tea Party all over just over that one thing and tried that guy for murder. But instead, those crooks said, oh, it was a clean shooting. No, it was a clean shooting if he was on duty. See, there's a difference in the terminology there. They done it as a cop. He wasn't acting as a cop that day. He was paid private security with a gun guarding somebody who don't believe in guns. Now, let your little brain work on that one for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how they want to take your guns away, but they don't want to take their guns away.
Right.
I say this, if we all going to lay down arms, let's everybody do it at the same time. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, law enforcement, game warden, everybody. Let's just lay them all down. Foreign countries, everybody. But until then, quit trying to ask us for our guns. You cannot have them.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I noticed that when we talk about insurrection, they arrested the guy that killed somebody that day, but this day they didn't in our day.
Yep.
See how backwards we're getting now? That goes to show you what kind of bunch of devils is running this country when something like this happens around that word right there.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
We always try to take the mayonnaise and dip it out of the jar and put it on the sandwich so you can consume it here. That's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mayonnaise that's not applied is mayonnaise in the jar and you don't know if it's good or bad.
Right.
I think we're getting into the good part of it right now. I see here, though, it says that this guy, this Barabbas, It says, "And the multitude," verse 8, "crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them." And that's the custom there of releasing somebody. "But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" And it says here, "For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy." Now, let me ask you something. In our day, it's not about how holy and how pleasing to God something is. It's how many do you run, whether you're doing good or not. That's what this whole town operates on in religion. Well, how many did you have? How many did you baptize last year? How many did you have in Sunday school? How many was it preaching? How many was this? I got one question for them, they won't answer me. How many did you have Sunday night?
Yep. That's right.
You know why I asked that? Because either they don't want to tell you because it was only them and one deacon showed up, or they don't have a Sunday night service.
Yep.
You let them sheep stray like that on Sunday night, they're going to stray right into the hands of cults, compromisers, charismatics, and Catholics. You just give them time. We don't have church to keep you out of trouble. We have church to keep you in with the Lord and start doing things. And when this bunch goes to saying, "Well, now, there ain't no Sunday night church in the Bible," I don't think you've read Matthew 13 where Jesus taught them on the evening that day. That's where we get the whole basis for doing that thing, is we have a Sunday night service for teaching of the Word of God so that we may teach you the Scriptures during that time. Thou shalt have a cell group also ain't in the Bible if you want to talk about things ain't in the Bible.
Right.
Last time I checked, having being in a cell wasn't a good thing. Amen and amen. So why do they call it that? I have no idea and don't care. But I do know this. We meet as the church meets because we don't want to forsake the assembling ourselves. And we want to get together and meet and have worship time and study of the Word of God and teaching the Bible and singing and praising His holy name. Because, beloved, after all, He might just be worth it.
Right.
When people say, "Well, we blah, blah." No, we nothing. He is what matters. It's not a we thing, it's a he thing, and we want to see what he wants us to do. And I see here that as they get down here in verse 10, they delivered him for envy. It wasn't because he had a bigger crowd, it's because what he said worked. There's no doubt tonight that most charismatic churches, these big churches, they run 2,000 and 3,000 every Sunday morning. No doubt. How many of them gave what you gave in missions last year? I take that back. How many in this county combined gave what you gave to missions last year? Answer? Zero. So why is that? I asked. They give 2% of their overall income to missions. Now that word is defined differently before you go, but missions in the Bible is reaching out and putting the gospel where it's not named. They consider missions sending some soup to the soup kitchen. That's admirable. That's also benevolent. It's a needed thing, but it's not missions.
Right.
They could take up donations on one Sunday morning and get enough soup to feed the soup kitchen crowd for a year. Instead, they put money towards it, because if you throw money at it, it'll go away. You ever seen the little fat African kid that they show on the thing? They didn't mention him. They said give 10 cents a day to his cause, did they? Somebody sent me a picture earlier and reminded me of that. That's not missions, is feeding somebody and teaching them how to wipe their hind end and put on clothes.
That's right.
I argued with somebody online about that to their face on a FaceTime call. I said, "You have missed the point." They said, "Do you think that's a bad thing?" I said, "No." I said, "But you're trying to get me to do what you're doing, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what God commands us to do and send the gospel to them." She said, "What good will that do?" I said, "It'll do this. It'll get Jesus Christ in their hearts by way of the Holy Spirit of God. They'll cry out to God. He'll send somebody there as a missionary, or they may already have one, and they'll build a church there and start having a church, and before long they'll be clothed in their right mind. It's just a matter of time. Works everywhere it's done." This still works. And as we look down our text, he said they delivered for envy. They're envious of this stuff. It said, "But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them." I got to thinking about this Barabbas character. He committed murder during the insurrection, and I thought about some of the horrible murders we had come through Cherokee County over the years. Before I was born, there was a Gaffney strangler, a guy by the name of Leroy Martin, killed 5 young girls, went back and raped their dead bodies. Barabbas still wasn't bad as that guy. We had our spree killer here about 5 years. Well, no, it's been over 10 years ago now. He would just walk up and shoot innocent people. Shot a father and daughter in a TV repair shop. Shot an old man selling hay. And if they wouldn't have walked into that house off a police call in Gastonia that night, he'd probably still be doing that stuff. Unbelievable. But listen to this. Barabbas still wasn't bad as that guy. He only killed one person. But you know what you label all 3 of them guys? Murderer. They take one life or take 10, they're a murderer. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, as it were. Right. I look at him and I see that if I had to pick between him and anybody else they were going to offer up that day, he's probably going to be the guy to say, crucify him. Because after all, these guys like this, if you ever let them out of prison, they go back and do the same thing again. Listen, they didn't have a Brother Kirsch down there at the praetorium down there. They were preaching on Sunday morning, so it's likely he didn't get saved. He's going to go right back out and do the same thing again. We have no scripture writings of Barabbas after this, but I promise you they're probably going to lock him right back up for doing the same thing. So would you rather me let Jesus, release Jesus or release this guy? And if you looked at verse 12, it says this, and Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then I should do unto him, whom you call King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? They couldn't name one thing in the entire crowd. Not one thing. In fact, Pilate's going to say of this man in John's gospel, I find no fault in him. When I mentioned Leroy Martin, the spree killer, and even Barabbas here, if we were to look at which one of those 3 are the worst 3, obviously we have an opinion each about which one would have been the worst one, but we're not comparing them to each other, we're comparing them to him. They don't compare to him. You and I don't compare to him. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the glorious Son of God. He's the sinless one. He is the El Shaddai. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the head of the body of the church. He is Christ. That's him. But I look and I see Pilate said, what evil hath he done? They couldn't name one thing. So this is the answer. It says, and so Pilate willing to content the people, there it is. There's our politician. Here comes the bureaucracy in action. Here it comes. He's going to come in there and get everybody to be quiet about this. Get them all quiet down. Then, as in now, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I look at what Pilate says here. He wanted to content the people, wanted to satisfy them. And it says about that thing, it says, to content the people, he released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. When you see that little phrase, when he had scourged him, you see these pictures of Jesus, and they're all over the place. There's a beautiful Italian young man with blue eyes and long, silky brown hair. And he's smiling, and he's got a beautifully well-trimmed and groomed beard. And then when they put him on the cross, he has a little scratch right here, a little drop of blood here and on his feet, maybe a little drop of blood from the crown of, I wouldn't call it thorns, what they draw in these pictures, more like a crown of briars, something a little wrapped around his head, you know, not to look, not to be disgusting or violent or nothing, no. And we look at those pictures, and we don't see the picture of that word scourged. Some people try to bring out that as they observe the weight of the cross, they see the scourging being 39 lashes. That's Jewish. These are Romans. They don't care about 39 lashes. When Pilate said that, when he pointed that man to be scourged, he said, scourge him. He wasn't talking about 39 stripes, save one. He's talking about get a doctor in the room and beat him till his heart's still, beat him as much as you can. Just make sure his heart's still beating when you're done. The local citizens of that day, when they heard the word scourge and to be scourged, they knew that to be called the half death. That means they're going to take your Savior, strap him to a pole, and put his stomach to it and tie his hands to it and beat him till they see no skin. It's either covered in blood or it's peeled completely off of him. They'd have seen his bones outside of his back, the back of his ribs, his legs the same way. And then they'd turn him over and do it to that side, the other side. And in the meantime, every once in a while, the doctor would stop. He'd go over there and check his pulse. And maybe the doctor would say, he's still alive. And they'd beat him more. Till finally the doctor would say, he can't physically handle anymore. Y'all have beat him. He's took so much pain, lost so much blood. We don't think we can do this anymore. This is probably the last of it. That's what scourged him meant. By this time, it says, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium and called together the whole band, that's the whole band of the soldiers, and they clothed him with purple. You know, since he's the king, they're going to mock him and make fun of him, put on him a purple robe. And his blood, he's going to bleed from those sores and those open wounds. And it says they plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And when they put that thing on his head, they pressed it down his head where the thorns would come between his skull and his skin. This is a gruesome picture I'm painting for you tonight, but a true picture of what happened. And it says about him, and they began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with the reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees and worshiped him. He's already got that crown of thorns, and now they're taking a stick and whacking him over the top of the head with it. He's got that going on, and it says they spit upon him, just like those other guys did back at that false trial, spitting in his face, showing their utter contempt for the God of heaven, for his beloved Son. And then it says they bowed their knees and worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put on his own clothes and led him out to crucify him. When they ripped that purple garment off him, it ripped the wounds back open again. The pain receptors are going wild all over again. And the craziest thing is, deliver unto us our custom. That's what they did to everybody, right? But they didn't do it to the two thieves that got crucified with him. Ain't that something? As you've probably heard for years about the cross, that there was all this stuff happening, you see these movies. Most recently, you saw that fake Mel Gibson movie that came out some years back. And you don't get the real picture of what's going on here, because they add so much stuff and take away so much stuff in it that you can't have it. If they ever did a movie like was really what's happening here, you couldn't take it. I mean, the violence alone they do to the Lord, but what would get you is when he wouldn't do nothing back. We're talking about somebody who called down 12,000 legion angels and wipe out the planet. Yep. But instead, he allows himself to be wiped out for the planet. Right. But wait, there's more. Why don't you hold your place here and look over at Luke chapter 9. In verse 21, it says, they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And to hear most of these people tell it, what they do is they get Simon to carry the cross for him, because Jesus just kept falling down over and over and over because he was beaten so bad. But in Luke chapter 9, oh, and by the way, you've got to Sunday. I got $100 bill. If you can find out where he kept falling down over and over in my Bible.
Yep.
100. I got it in my pocket right now. Anybody can find it.
Don't matter your age either, honey. If you find it, I'll give you $100. Get any of y'all. And then the older people back here behind right here. You don't look. You know what they're there, but you don't look, man. Just because you know you are. I will. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus, this is way prior to the crucifixion. He's saying this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. First part of following the Lord. And take up his cross daily and follow me. What he said. Take up your cross and follow him. Now, if he's following the whole time and somebody has to carry it for him, that takes all the pressure off you. You can be a worthless believer. You can drink alcohol. And by the way, when preachers don't preach against alcohol, it's not just because their deacons are drinking, their wife is. Mm. Yeah, I said it. I'll take it to my grave saying it because I'm sick and tired of a bunch of people who are promoting alcohol that's killing people every day.
Yep, right.
And they will attack your cigarettes? I'm not defending cigarettes or being fat, but I never took a spoon of ice cream and went out and killed somebody in a family of four in a car.
Right.
Just saying, for a friend, you know. Because every time you bring up alcohol, some fat preacher, I lost 100 pounds one time, went back, that person said that about no fat preacher will tell me about drinking, and they wouldn't talk to me. I thought, here I have put in all this work, Brother Faye lost all that weight, and now they're not going to. I just got that. No, seriously, I hurt my back. Anyway. Does your Bible say, deny yourself, take his cross, follow me? Look over Luke 23. Luke 23. Luke 23. Look at it, verse 21. The same parallel story here, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he says to them the third time, why, what evil hath he done, and so forth. Pilate gave sentence, get down to verse 26, and they led him away. They laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. You got to talk to all the witnesses in the car wreck. You know why? Because sometimes when there's a car wreck, the one witness lies or just tells their version of the story. And it may be true, but if you got four witnesses from four different directions, that's 25% of the story. We left here on visitation one Saturday, came through right in the middle of town after visitation was over, got to where First Baptist is right here, the Family Strife Center is over here, parking lot here, the police station here, and people in all four corners intersection. We had drunk uncle over here. We had somebody else here. Me and Lisa in the car here. Somebody was here. And this car comes along, and this other car didn't even see the red light. Bam! And if we'd been 10 feet sooner, he'd hit us. So we're sitting there going, wow. We knew we had the green light. This guy hits the guy and says, they ran the red light. Well, no, they didn't do it. You did. You know what the policeman did? He didn't take nobody's word for it. He asked everybody, what happened? Of course, drunk uncle said, well, that guy right there could come right along on the old man. And that's kind of what happened. I saw that car come to the car, hit it. It was light red or green, don't know. Asked the drivers on the other lanes, we have the green light. So you take the whole story, tell me what just happened. The guy ran a red light. Y'all get this, right? So one guy saying one thing, one guy saying another one. You ever notice when you go to some churches, they got them nice, beautiful stained glass windows? You ever notice how many is on each side? Listen, I'm fixing to grow you up and you're going to be a big Christian, okay? From henceforth, thou shalt be an adult whether thou wants to or not. Because I'm going to ring a bell you can't unring and say, strike that from the record. It ain't going to work. There'll be seven beautiful windows on this side and seven beautiful windows on this side because an Italian or a Catholic guy drew the blueprints and he's got to put all 14 stations of the cross on there. You say, I've never heard that before. Of course you haven't. You're a Baptist. We don't have 14 stations of the cross. We don't have Maundy Thursday and blah, blah, blah. It gets better from here. Those seven of the seven, 14, we don't have them because three of them ain't true. Those of you that did see the mail get some of me said, oh, that just brought, I just lived my faith. No, you didn't. You lie. Faith don't come by movies. It comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Yep.
That woman that comes up and wipes his face, remember that part? Didn't happen. But guess who happens to have a cloth in the Vatican right now? And for a certain fee, you can look at it, see? It don't make sense. No one would ever accuse a guy sitting on the largest stockpile of gold in the world of that, would they? Hey, how do you get all that? And he's telling us to feed the poor? Physician, heal thyself. You go to it. You could take half their gold right now, feed the world 10 years, and never miss a dime of it, and it'd be back in interest in 5 years. Even under this administration. There's also another one on there that you've been taught in Sunday school that is an absolute lie. Is in your Sunday school book as a lie. Most preachers preach it, it's a lie. And because of one thing. They don't read the Bible, they read commentaries. It's a holiday. We got to preach on such and such. That's nice. That's real cute. But you're feeding the greeting card companies more than you're feeding the sheep. I know some of you wondered, if you hadn't been attending this church, you probably wonder, why did you preach on the crucifixion? We just had Easter. No, we didn't have Easter. No, we had Resurrection Sunday. There is a difference.
Yep.
Ishtar is still a pagan holiday that, by the way, that guy Herod celebrated in Acts chapter 12. It's a fertility god, symbolized by a bunny rabbit and eggs. You ever wonder how them two things ever got together? By the way, bunnies don't lay eggs, just let you know.
That's right.
And they sure don't lay good chocolate eggs, right? Amen, amen. So we got this picture of this guy named Simon that they grab out of the crowd. And they take him over the cross. You carry the cross. And there's poor beaten Jesus. He can barely move and he keeps falling down and he can't carry it, of course. But that ain't what he told you to do. He said if any man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He didn't carry his, you're going to have to carry yours. Let's ring that bell. Brother Brian. You know the bit. Come on. I know you've been sick, but social distance. Don't let this part in the ground. This is our cross. You know, we ought to make me one of those ones, big nice head ones, so we can weigh it and really show you the difference. But anyway. Let's get him. Come on, everybody. Here, take this on your shoulder. Brian is going to be Jesus. He's carrying the cross. He just told you to carry yours, so he needs to carry his or he's a hypocrite, right? Come here, Simon. This dude don't want to fall. We beat him half to death. We want you to bear his cross after him so that he'll fall while he's carrying his. But yet he don't fall. Y'all get the picture yet? Bear his cross after him, this guy back here. Now Jesus still up here with the load on him. Can you say that Jesus can bear the load? Amen. Now you see what they're trying to hide from you out of these little lies they tell you and all this stuff and this false literature. Wonder who taught them that when they wrote that stuff. I'll tell you, the same dude that's got all the gold in the Vatican over there, he's the one that's spreading that lie because it makes him money. Remember the seven windows and seven windows? go check and see if one of them don't have Simon doing that, somebody wiping Jesus' face and so forth. It's in every Catholic church in the world. Like this. We are opposed to this flag, so we're going to hang it out here. What you have is people try to tell you something's not scriptural and get you full of religion. You get full of religion, guess what you'll do? You'll flake out on God, not do nothing for God the rest of your life. Let's look at that verse one more time. Verse 21, Mark chapter 15. And they compel one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander Rufus, to bear his cross. Here's the thing. We add in Luke 23 over there with that thing. We start to get the whole witness now. What do we got? We got a picture of them trying to get Jesus to fall. Now, these Roman soldiers would have had no idea he said that. Right? The chance of them being there when he mentioned that thing in Luke 9 was probably slim to none. But the devil heard it. Remember how God said that this was settled in heaven before the foundation of the world? The devil also knew about the crucifixion before it happened. But if he could get Jesus to drop that cross, then the rest of it is off the hook. You can be prostitute Christians, drinking Christians, you got no cross to bear.
Right.
You can have a disease called alcoholism, instead of it being a sin to be repented of. And what we get is we have a Savior who can't carry you and don't want you to follow him. Just do the best you can. Use your common sense type thing. Problem is, ain't no such thing as common sense, because God keeps saying that's for wisdom, not common sense. And one thing that's true about common sense, and it's definitely not common, it don't go to the common people. Why? Because we're always the ones doing the dumb things. You ever notice when they have dumb, crook news, and it's never about rich people, it's always about us? Common people with our common sense. You know, I used to hear, dumbest thing I ever heard in my life, I drive better when I'm... No, you don't. You really don't. And you don't play music better, your voice changes, your perception of reality changes, the whole thing. What happens to them? They're deceived by the one we talked about, the author of confusion earlier. He's the master deceiver and the master liar.
Yep.
Back to that cross thing, though. If we look at that cross bearer right there, you know who the cross bearer is now? We are. Everybody's got one. Now deny yourself, take up your cross. Let's follow the master. He never failed. He's our example. So you failed with carrying yours before? Hey, no problem. 1 John 1:9 to the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pick it back up. Let's head behind him. Because he, listen, what he does right here speaks so loud to me, I can't help but take up mine. Let's stand with him.